baba,
pussy alla baba, conopel,
pussy alla baba,
pussy alla baba, conopel,
conopel, pel, 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 conopel, pel, 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 conopel, pel, 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 oye, conopel, conopel, pel, 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 conopel, pel, 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 conopel, pel, 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 oye, conopel.
Hey, jak to ty panady,
jak to ty panady w
żurawel, a jak to ty panady,
jak to ty panady w żurawel,
żurawel, pel, 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 żurawel, pel, 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 żurawel, pel, 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 oye, da żurawel,
żurawel, pel, 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 żurawel, pel, 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 żurawel, pel, 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 oye, da żurawel.
Ja jego spimaju,
ja jego spimaju, żurawla,
ja jego spimaju,
ja jego spimaju, żurawla,
żurawla, bla, 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 żurawla, bla, 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 żurawla, bla, 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 oj ta żurawla,
żurawla, bla, 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 żurawla, bla, 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 żurawla, bla, 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 oj ta żurawla.
Nie chodę by,
nie korę by, nie topta by konoplu,
nie chodę by,
nie korę by, nie topta by konoplu,
konoplu, bla, 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 konoplu, bla, 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 konoplu, bla, 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 oj ta konoplu,
konoplu, bla, 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 konoplu.
And that was the popular Ukrainian folk rock group Otvinta with Reflection on Our Times, a more contemporary take on a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Pusiala Baba Konopel, which translates as Granny Planted Hemp. Nowadays, Baba, although not this one, is just as likely to smoke it as plant it. Then again, who knows what went on back in the day. Otvinta with Nakurela Baba Zhuravlya. Вітаю вас всіх, дорогі радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння, яка подається вам у місті Ванкувері щосуботи о 6 годині вечора на радіостанції AM1320 CHMB у місті Нанаймо кожної середи з 11 до 13 години на хвилі CHLY 101 FM і по всьому світі по мережі PCJ Радіо Міжнародному. З вами Павліна Макварі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you Saturdays at 6 p.m. on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver, Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo, and around the world on AM, FM, shortwave, and satellite radio via PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Paula Demchuk-McCory, Pokrinske Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've dug into the Nash Holos audio vault again, and we found that lovely folk tale series, so we're going to be hearing the story again of the stolen postolet. We've also got a book review, our usual proverb of the week, and other items of interest, as well as plenty of great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is something a little more traditional than we started out with, Korinya from the United States, a great young group that does a real traditional sound. Here they are with a folk song about that girl, Marichka.
Oi, Marichka, chichari. Чичері, чичері, рощаші ми кучері, 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 рощаші ми кучері, кучері, кучері.
Я би тобі чесала, 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 як би мамка не знала, не знала, не знала, як би мамка не знала, не знала, не знала, мамка буде дивити, 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 я вся буду ганьбити. Ганьбити, 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 я все буду ганьбити, ганьбити, ганьбити. когуття, когуття, когуття.
Was Nezhures from Ukraine with a traditional Ukrainian patriotic song, Oy Uluzi Chervona Kalena. In the forest there is a cranberry tree, and that was very popular back in the World War II era in Ukraine. Nezhures with Oy Uluzi Chervona Kalena. Coming up next is a more contemporary song. This is a song originally composed by Mandre, and it was very popular during the Maidan Revolution and the Orange Revolution before that. Here they are. Actually, it's not Mandre. It's Lesya Bahri and Nazari Karabinovich with Nispe Moya Ridna Zemlya, Do Not Sleep, My Native Land.
Я тобі скажу, де квітне дивний сад, де срібляста ніч тремтить у темних водах, у далекий край лежить нелегкий шлях, доки хижа ніч кружля по колу. Не спи, моя рідна земля, прокинься, моя Україно, відкрий свої очі у світлі далеких зірок. Це дивляться з темних небес загиблі поети й герої, всі ті, що поклали життя за майбутнє твоє. Земля, прокинься, моя Україно, відкрий свої очі у світлі далеких зірок. Це дивляться з темних небес загиблі поети й герої, всі ті, що поклали життя за майбутнє твоє.
Ви слухаєте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Радіо Міжнародному. Говорить Павіна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Павіна.
Welcome to Knižka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik. Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knižka Corner, we will be discussing Serhiy Plokhii's non-fiction thriller, The Man with the Poison Gun, a Cold War spy story. The Man with the Poison Gun, Serhiy Plokhii's first non-fiction thriller, focuses on the life of Bohdan Stashinsky, the assassin who killed Stepan Bandera and Lev Rebet. The very first paragraph sets up a shocking comparison between fiction and real life. In the fall of 1961, while David Cornwell, a British spy, more commonly known as Jean Le Carré, was contemplating the writing of his first best-selling novel, The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, the West German police were actually interrogating a Soviet spy. That spy was Bohdan Stashinsky. His story begins in 1949, in post-war Ukraine, when Nikita Khrushchev, then the party boss of Ukraine, decided that he needed to destroy the Ukrainian resistance by killing the leader of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, OUN, Stepan Bandera. Bandera had spent years in Polish prisons and the German concentration camp of Sachsenhausen. His followers were now headquartered in Munich, the center of the American occupation zone in Germany. In early 1950, Bohdan Stashinsky was arrested by the Soviets for a minor offense and given an ultimatum. cooperate with the Soviets and become a traitor to Ukraine, or face prison time and possible death along with his entire family. Bohdan chose to become an agent of the Soviets. Stashinsky returned from Lviv to his native village and told his relatives that the secret police were hot on his heels. Everyone agreed that under the circumstances he had no choice but to flee to the forest and join the guerrillas. His initial task involved betraying members of the Ukrainian underground, which led to arrests and assassinations. When Stashinsky's family found out the truth about what he had done, Stashinsky had nowhere to go. He had saved his family by betraying it. They did not want to have him around anymore. The secret police would become his new home and family. As an agent of the Soviet secret police, Bohdan would be trained in spycraft and assassination techniques. His weapon was a poison gun, which would immediately kill his target with undetectable poisonous fumes. His initial target in Munich was Lev Rebit, a troublesome Ukrainian journalist. The KGB described Rebit as an intellectual leader of the Ukrainian nationalists, who wrote articles inciting Ukrainians to fight against the Soviet occupiers. Stashinsky killed Rebit on October the 12th, 1957. After his initial success, he was given a more important target, the leader of OUN, Stepan Bandera. Bandera's assassination was more complex because of his bodyguard, and it involved following the Ukrainian leader for weeks on end. However, Stashinsky eventually saw his opportunity when Bandera was alone after a shopping trip and murdered him on October the 15th, 1959, in the stairwell of his home. At first, authorities were mystified by Bandera's death, calling it a stroke or a possible suicide. The poison that killed Bandera left no trace, so it was not until Stashinsky defected to West Germany that he revealed how Bandera died. In order to stay in the West, Stashinsky had to convince German authorities that the KGB wanted to kill him because of what he knew about the Soviet assassination plots. He was eventually tried for the murders of Rebit and Bandera, and his trial opened up the truth to the world for the very first time. The Man with the Poison Gun is a very interesting book about post-war Soviet and European politics. Khrushchev's role in the deaths of Rebit and Bandera was shocking to the world community at the time. Today, the attempted assassination of Ukraine's President Viktor Yushchenko and the successful assassinations of journalist Alexander Litvinenko in London, Sergei Magnitsky in a Russian prison, and Boris Nemtsov on a bridge in Moscow are brutal reminders that the strategies of the post-war KGB are still alive and well in Russia. Plotkin was able to write his book because of the information he gathered from Stashinsky's trial testimony, as well as recently released historical documents such as KGB and CIA archives. His extensive notes will be very useful to anyone wanting to know more about post-war Ukrainian resistance. Plotkin is a historian, not a writer of spy thrillers like John le Carré or Ian Fleming, and he has difficulty describing Stashinsky's moral qualms about killing his victims. He tells readers that in his early days as a Soviet agent, Bohdan was confused, since he had been raised as a Christian. The idea of killing another human being was difficult for him to contemplate. However, Bohdan did proceed to kill both Rebit and Bandera, regardless of his confusion. Despite these issues, Plotkin's book is an interesting and revealing expose of Stashinsky's life as a Soviet agent and his role in the murders of Rebit and Bandera. Readers will be surprised to learn that Ian Fleming actually modeled part of his novel, The Man with the Golden Gun, on the actions of Bohdan Stashinsky. Although The Man with the Poison Gun is Serhii Plotkin's first nonfiction thriller, he has written extensively on the history of Ukraine and Eastern Europe. His most recent works include The Gates of Europe, A History of Ukraine, The Last Empire, The Final Days of the Soviet Union, and The Cossack Myth, History and Nationhood in the Age of Empires. Plotkin was born in Russia to Ukrainian parents, but grew up and went to school in Ukraine. He received his PhD in history from Kyiv University. He was a professor of history and associate director of the Peter Yatsik Center for Ukrainian Historical Research at the University of Alberta. He is currently the Mykhailo Hrushevsky Professor of Ukrainian History at Harvard University. The Man with the Poison Gun is available at Chapters Indigo and Amazon.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Knyzhka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Inimitable Ron Cahoot with Buria and his original composition that has been recorded by many other groups since, and just it's a great tune. Fly, Cossack, fly.
Welcome to Beyond the Blue Mirror, a series of programs that celebrates the rich Ukrainian oral tradition. Each program features a folktale or legend, as well as a related real-life story, enhanced with traditional and contemporary music. My name is Linda Mikolayenko. Thank you for joining me. The Stolen Postole. Bondarchuk was up to no good. This rich farmer was always plotting ways to get the poor peasants to work on his land for next to nothing. And now he had his eyes set on Danilo, a big, strong man. But how to enlist him? He stewed and he schemed and he twirled the ends of his long black mustache until he came up with a plan. And then he sent one of his servants to steal something from Danilo. In the dark of night, the servant crept into Danilo's hut. Careful not to wake the sleeping man, he tiptoed about, looking for something worth stealing. But Danilo was so poor, he couldn't find anything. All night long he looked, and finally, just before dawn, he realized that Danilo had no real valuables, and so he quickly grabbed a pair of postole, a pair of shoes, and ran out the door. In the morning, Danilo awoke, yawned and stretched and rubbed his eyes, but when he reached for his postole, well, they were gone. He scratched his head and tried to remember where he had left them, but he was certain that he had put them beside his bed as he always had. Outside, the frost lay thick on the ground. Winter was on its way, and he wondered how he would survive without a pair of shoes. As he sat there, suddenly the door to his hut burst open, and in walked Bondarchuk, the wealthy farmer who lived nearby. "Why so glum, Danilo?" he said. "Why shouldn't I be sad?" replied Danilo. "Some scoundrel has stolen my postole. Winter is on its way, and I don't have a cent to buy a new pair." "Oh, that is indeed terrible," Bondarchuk pretended to feel sorry for him. "But don't worry. I'll buy you a pair of shoes, and you can pay me back by working on my farm for a year." Well, Danilo thought this was ludicrous. But what could he do? He had no choice. So he went to work for Bondarchuk. Day in and day out he slaved, but Danilo was a big man, and the landlord fed him so little that he was always hungry. Finally, one day, when he felt he just didn't have the strength to continue, he went to Bondarchuk and he complained, "How can I work when all day long my stomach aches and rumbles so?" Again, Bondarchuk pretended to feel sorry for him. "I'll tell you what, my friend. I'll get my wife to give you a boiled egg every morning. And that way you'll have the strength to continue to work, and by the end of the year you will have paid off your debt, all right?" Danilo agreed and went back to work. For an entire year, Danilo worked like a dog. He plowed and he planted and he threshed just to pay for a pair of shoes. And though he was still hungry, that boiled egg did help to give him the strength he needed to continue working. Now, by Danilo's sweat, the farmer prospered with bountiful crops and a rich harvest. And when the year was almost up, he really wanted to keep Danilo working for him. And so one day he called him to his house. "So you finally paid for the shoes," said Bondarchuk, stroking his long black mustache. "That's right," said Danilo. "And did you get a boiled egg to eat every morning?" said Bondarchuk as he furrowed his bushy eyebrows. "Yes," replied Danilo. "Oh!" Bondarchuk gasped and rolled his eyes as if he was in great pain. "Do you realize what you have done?" "What do you mean?" asked Danilo. "What have I done?" "Why, you have devoured 300 eggs. If my wife would have put those eggs under brood hens, they would have hatched into 300 chicks. Those 300 chicks would have grown into 300 hens that would have laid 1,000 more eggs. Those 1,000 eggs would have hatched into 1,000 chicks. I could have sold those 1,000 chicks at the market for quite a sack of money. So you see, you, Donello, you have cost me a sack of money. Why, if I take you to court, the judge will make you work for me for at least another year. Donello listened to that tirade, and when it was over, he said, "Have it your way, you cheat. But I'll not work for you, not for another minute." And with that, he stamped his foot, turned around, and walked out the door. But when he had cooled down, he fell into despair. Oi, Boże, co ze mną będzie? What is to become of me? How could he possibly win in court against a rich man? As he wandered the roads aimlessly, he came upon an old hutsal, a mountain dweller. "What troubles you, my friend?" said the old man. Now this hutsal was not only old, he was wise, and in his pocket he carried a blue mirror, and in it he could see where the rabbits slept, and how the stars fell into the sea, and what made the sun smile. He understood the languages of trees, and why the moon spread her skirts of melancholy over the hills. Donello told him the whole story, and he finished off by saying, "So you see, Bondarchuk has me for good. I worked for him for an entire year, and now he's taking me to court." "A rich man's greed knows no bounds," said the hutsal. "So you mean there's no hope?" replied Donello. "Might makes right, and beggars can't be choosers. The judge is a learned man, but in my mirror he would see nothing." And with that he pulled out his mirror, and he gazed up into the sky and down to the ground and around to the forests and the mountains. And then he smiled and motioned for Donello to come closer, and he whispered something in Donello's ear. Donello nodded and smiled, and went on his way. The day of the trial arrived. Bondarchuk walked into the courtroom, strutting like a peacock, wearing a fine velvet suit. The judge and the clerk took their places, and they waited for Donello. They waited. Minutes turned into hours. Bondarchuk began tugging at his mustache. "Where is that fool?" The judge looked at his watch, and the clerk tapped his fingers nervously on the desk. Finally, when they were just about to give up, the door to the courtroom burst open, and in walked Donello, heaving and panting. "Excuse me, Your Honor," he said, "but I have been very busy." "What do you mean?" said the judge. "What do you mean, busy?" "Well, I was busy boiling potatoes and planting them, boiling barley and planting it, boiling oats and planting them." "Wait a minute," said the judge. "You can't get a crop from boiled potatoes or boiled barley." "Well, surely I can," replied Donello. "Just as surely as Bondarchuk says he could get 1,000 chicks from the boiled eggs that his wife fed me." The judge looked at Bondarchuk. "What kind of eggs did your wife give Donello?"
"Boiled eggs," stuttered Bondarchuk.
The judge looked at the clerk, and then at Donello, and then at Bondarchuk, and he began to laugh. And then the clerk began to laugh, and Donello began to laugh, but Bondarchuk did not laugh. He stood there looking bewildered, tugging at his mustache, and then he grabbed his coat and hat, and he walked out of the court. And as his carriage clattered away, he could still hear them laughing. But that was the last time the rich man tried to take a peasant to court.
Thank you.
agricultural themes are quite common in Ukrainian folk tales. Many of the Ukrainians who came to Canada in the early 1900s were farmers, and they came at the invitation of the then Minister of the Interior, Clifford Sifton, who praised these stalwart peasants in sheepskin coats. However, that reference to men in sheepskin coats soon became a derogatory term, as the newcomers were looked on with suspicion by the established population. And it didn't take long before the immigrants began to encounter men like the Bondarchuk in the story of the stolen postolet. My father came to Canada in 1930 and worked for farmers during the difficult years of drought and depression. One year, my father tried to earn a little bit of extra money by catching the gophers that would cause great devastation to the crops. He was disappointed, though, that the farmer he worked for wanted to deny him even that. It was a story he often told me, so one day I decided to write it down, and it came out in the form of a poem. Here it is. "Sure can do a lot of damage to the crops, those gophers," said Mr. Nicholson, sipping tea. "Farmer with a reputation. Had 20,000 in the bank. 1934 is going to be a bad year for them, they say. Municipalities paying 1 cent apiece." Mike nodded. Immigrant hired 7 months for $100. Up at 5, Mike fed horses, milked cows, set out poison in the fields, plowed, planted, fed pigs. Sunset late on spring days. Gathered up dead gophers, cut tails and hind feet for proof, put them in a box. Up at 5, Mike fed horses, milked cows, set out poison in the fields, plowed, planted, fed pigs, gathered up dead gophers, cut tails and hind feet, added them to the box. No chance to cash them in. "Mr. Nicholson, you going to town? How about you take my gophers?" "Sure, Mike." Returning in his wagon, Mr. Nicholson holds out $2.37. "Mike, you got those gophers from my farm. You work for me. My daughter wants a coat. How about I keep $1? "Sure, Mr. Nicholson, sure." If he had a daughter, he'd rather she wear sheepskin than rodent.
Приїхали ми у незнану країну, покинули свій рідний край і родину. Все, що нам близьке до серця було, залишили ми тільки прямі живемо. Канадо, Канадо, ти країна казки прийняла до серця нас, як рідна мати. Все, що нам близьке до серця було, залишили ми тільки прямі живемо. Нелегко нам було на чужині жити, мову й закони мусили навчитись. Працювали ми тяжко, як в день, так вночі, щоб діточки наші не знали біди. Канадо, Канадо, ти країна казки прийняла до серця нас, як рідна мати.
Beyond the Blue Mirror is a series of programs that celebrates the rich Ukrainian oral tradition. I would like to acknowledge the support of the Canada Council for the Arts. Je remercie de son soutien le Conseil des Arts du Canada. I would also like to thank Ethnic FM CKER Radio for the Roger Charest Senior Award for Broadcast and Media Arts, administered through the Ukrainian Resource and Development Center at Grant McEwen College in Edmonton. The folktale in this program is based on The Stolen Pustule and the Boiled Eggs from the book The Magic Egg and Other Tales from Ukraine, retold by Barbara J. Suen and edited by Natalie O. Kononenko. Copyright 1997 by Libraries Unlimited, Incorporated. Used with the permission of Greenwood Publishing Group, Westport, Connecticut. The poem, Spring Harvest, is based on the recollections of my father, Mike Mikolayenko. My gratitude to him for allowing me to share it with you. Introductory music for this series is taken from Dance 5, from the CD Prairie Nights and Peacock Feathers, performed by Paris Dukeu, distributed by Alesha Records. This program also features excerpts from Hutzel Fantasy from the CD A Blaze, performed by Vasil Popoduk, and the original composition Kraina Kazke from the CD Reflections of Our Pioneers, performed by Duet Marena. I'm Linda Mikolayenko. You may reach me through my website, lindathestoryteller.ca. Thank you for listening.
Ви слухаєте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Радіо Міжнародному. Говорить Павіна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Павіна.
Це наша земля, це наше поле, від Галіфаксу до другого моря. Це наша земля, це наше поле. Новий край, як я приїхав до цього краю, я бачив море, лісе і горе, то була пушта і файно поле. Цей був наш новий край, це наша земля, це наше поле, від Торонтонію до другого моря, це наша земля, це наше поле, це є наш новий край.
Winnipeg, Manitoba, that was Sluhai with, of course, Sinasha Zemya, This Land is Our Land. You've been listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting in Vancouver on AM 1320 CHMB, in Nanaimo on CHLY 101.7 FM, and around the world on PCJ Radio International. Please visit us in between broadcasts at our website, www.nashholos.com, for transcripts and audio files of interviews and features such as Ukrainian Jewish Heritage and Knishka Corner book reviews. As well, you'll find information about the show and links to our podcast feed, our new gift boutique, and our Patreon site, where you'll find the weekly playlist and proverbs, if you're a patron. And a big shout out to our latest Patreon patron, Max Emission. I hope I've pronounced your name right, Max, and thank you so much for your pledge of $1 a month. Welcome to our Patreon community, and thanks again for your support. As well, another shout out to Mike Pinyansky, also known as Mahalo North on Twitter, who is definitely a guy to follow. Thanks for your patronage, Mike, since April, of $5 a month. So thanks so much. Shiro dyakuyu. It really means a lot. And again, you'll find that link and all the other information about the show at our website, www.nashholos.com. Нажал, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Біда не ходить по лісі, але поміж людьми. And our proverb of the week translates as, misfortune wanders not in the forest, but among people. And with that, we've come to the end of our program. So to wrap things up, we have the Millennia from Edmonton with A Little Lake in the Field. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio International, thanks for listening. Until next time, до побачення.
Косака, чорний брови козака, а це мати породила, що дівчина любила, а дівчина гордиться, до козаки гордиться, а козак як горив, як побачить, так і не. Ой, мамцю моя, а є донька твоя, треба була мене пити, як маленька була. А тепер я велика, треба мені чоловіка, ні старого, ні малого, козаченька молодого.
Хай, 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 зелененький, як козак. Чорний пробив козака, на те мати породила, що дівчина любила, а дівчина гордиться, до козаки гордиться, а козак як горил, як побачить, так і мир.
На горбочку сиджу та збираю вішні, треба мені чоловіка та під мої мислі, щоб горівки не пішли.
Ритосака, чорні брови козака, на те мати породила, що дівчина любила, ані.